Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Real Networks and features a session from the EDUCAUSE 2008 annual conference presented by Mary Lou Goodyear, Chair of the Department of Public Administration and ECAR Fellow at the University of Kansas. The session is entitled, The Career of the IT Security Officer in Higher Education.
Well, hello, I'm Tammy Clark, Chief Information Security Officer at Georgia State University, and I wanted to welcome you to this session today on the career of the Chief IT Security Officer, an ECAR study that I actually participated in, so I'm looking forward to hearing the results as well. And before we get started introducing our speaker today, EDUCAUSE would like to ask you to consider filling out the online evaluations after the session, and you can find those on the program page of the conference. Mary Lou Goodyear is a very accomplished professional, and she is chair of the Department of Public Administration and an ECAR fellow at the University of Kansas. In her past life, she was the CIO there as well. And I just wanted to, without further ado, introduce Mary Lou, and looking forward to hearing your speech today, Mary Lou.
Thank you very much. And there are handouts by both doors if folks have come in and missed getting those, or you can just pick them up on the way out if you'd like. The study is being done by four individuals. I'm the lead researcher on the study. Mark Nelson, who is also an ECAR fellow and is a management information system, has a management information system background, is helping with the analysis. Rodney Peterson, whom I'm sure many of you know, who is an EDUCAUSE employee and the EDUCAUSE staff person in the area of IT security, has also helped a great deal with the study. And Shannon Portillo is a doctoral student at the University of Kansas, and she helped with the interviewing in the study. So it's a combined effort of all of us. The study had several aspects of data that we looked at. We downloaded job descriptions from the EDUCAUSE database from 1999, which was the first date that we could find a job listed in this category, to April of 2008. That ended up to be a little over 3,000 job announcements that had gone out. Sifted through those to try to eliminate the ones where security was not a major component of the job, and then took a random sample of those job descriptions, and then we did some analysis on those. We did a survey. An invitation to fill out the survey was sent out to 1,635 CIOs, asking them to refer the survey to the person who was in charge of day-to-day management of security on their campus. And we ended up getting 311 responses to the survey. The survey had questions that individuals filled out or ranked various items. And the survey was put together after we did four interviews with security officers to kind of get a groundwork, laying ground of what kinds of issues were coming up in this field and what kinds of job responsibilities they had. The survey was then further refined by a few other security officers who kind of pre-tested it for us. And then we had also a number of questions where people could give us free text answers. We also then did a number of interviews, and of course, the entire thing was informed by a literature search that we did. So who answered the survey? 161 of the individuals who answered the survey, we can tell because of the way they answered a couple of questions, but also by their title, are actually what I would call a chief IT security officer. More than 50% of their duties are in this area, and they have a title that kind of reflects that. And the word security and officer in the title was the most common at 63, and you can see there the number of people, the various kinds of things that are called. 17 people had a security position, maybe not the chief position in the organization. We know that a few individuals actually had day-to-day responsibility for security management, but there was an officer above them, and they ended up being the ones that answered the survey. But some of them may be chiefs. We just can't tell. 44 people had a network-type position, but with security major security responsibilities attached to that. 32 were CIOs or directors who do security as part of their position. 37 IT managers that do security as part of their position, and then a various variety of other individuals. Reporting lines, 49% report to the chief information officer on campus, 13 to a vice president or a vice provost that is not the CIO. Most often, that was a business officer, or occasionally it was a provost. And 9% reported to a director of networking. There was one respondent that had a dual reporting line to the CIO and to the head legal counsel on campus, which I thought was kind of an interesting twist in reporting lines. So where did these folks come from previous to having their job as a chief information security officer? 95% had positions in information technology, mostly technical positions, many of those network related. 67% had a previous position in higher education. But the positions were pretty much evenly divided across lots of different levels. Some were frontline professionals before they stepped into this role, some team leaders, some middle managers, and some at the director level. So we have a variety of individuals coming from different levels, but all with pretty much a technical background, and most with coming from within higher education. So given that profile, the demographics are not too surprising that 83% are male. The years of age are between 36 and 50 years old. Many of them have bachelor's or master's degrees, and the most common major in the bachelor's area was computer science and MIS, although there was quite a variety. We had people from philosophy and art and music and, you know, all kinds of interesting backgrounds come into this role. 23% held the CISSP credential. And that compares, I thought I'd give you a little bit of comparison data. The last time ECAR did a major survey on IT security, just on what's going on campuses, was 2006. And that survey had 18% of the responding institutions having a certified person on their campus in the IT security role. So it's increased somewhat. And average salary is between $75,000 and $99,000. We asked about position responsibilities, and in this area, we gave the individuals who responded to the survey data a number of choices about what their responsibilities were, and asked them to rank whether they had primary responsibilities in that area, support responsibilities, or no responsibility. Position responsibilities pretty much fell into kind of three areas. One is what I'm calling security management. The second is the more technical job responsibilities. And the third is more general management. Security management was the highest category for responsibilities of the officer. And you can see there that 78% have primary responsibility for incident management, et cetera. The items in security management were the ones that were the highest in the primary area, with the exception of background checks. And technical responsibilities, kind of an interesting story here, in that I think the ones at the top, security architecture and digital forensics and network security, system security, are all pretty large. Much fewer chief information officers have the primary responsibility for application and database. You'll see at the bottom, most of that is more of a support role. And that reflects a lot of the interview data and some of the free text data that indicates for most individuals in this role, the actual technical doing of a lot of the security is falling into other positions within the IT organization. and the security officer is becoming more and more of a coordinator, manager, kind of looking at security overall across the organization. Management responsibilities, a number of them have primary responsibilities in policy development and administration, coordination with law enforcement. An interesting aspect of the study is how is security organized on campuses? And the vast majority of individuals where there's one officer, they report to the CIO and they have kind of a coordinating role across the environment. When there's more than one position, the vast majority of them have formed a security unit and individuals in that unit report to a CISO who supervises and manages those staff. There were a few folks that reported that they have multiple people in security, but those security positions are actually spread out across the IT organization. So there would be a full-time security person in networking, a full-time security person in applications, et cetera. So that model exists, but it's pretty rare out there. Most of the time, people have pulled those positions in reporting to the IT security officer. Data and information management is an area from interviews and free text information is really up and coming. And many, 51% as you can see, said they had a support role, 41% a primary role in that. There's a lot of discussion about data security and working across the campus on data security issues. So pretty big area. And that is a pretty major change from the study, the ECAR study that was done in 2006, where it looked like technical aspects of securing networks and applications, which was a much more prominent kind of theme in responsibilities. Additional responsibilities that didn't come from the survey data but did come from the analysis of the job descriptions were that the planning and strategy development area, 61% of those job descriptions had substantial duties in that area. Campus consultation and interaction, 47% talked a lot about that being a primary duty of this person. And participation in the overall management of the information technology profile on campus, sitting on the IT leadership group of some sort or on larger university groups was also listed. Qualifications, this comes from that analysis of the job descriptions. 69% talked about technical knowledge, 66% required a bachelor's degree, and many required or preferred a master's level degree. But of the other kinds of qualifications that was asked for, communication skills was the top qualification. Which I thought was a real recognition that this role has an important campus-wide role in education. Security certifications were mentioned in 38% of those job descriptions. Most often, they were mentioned as a preferred qualification. Occasionally, people ask that the successful candidate would acquire a certain certification within 1 year of appointment. So you wouldn't have to have it coming in, but they wanted to set the expectation up front that that would happen. Leadership skills was another popular thing. And as we looked over time from 1999 to 2008, increasingly, as you get more recent, higher education experience is mentioned more often in those job advertisements. I think that's a reflection of the fact that as these positions got more popular, more universities were receiving applicants from the private sector. And some had in there, well, we'd prefer to have someone who has knowledge about the higher education environment. Important skill sets. This is back to the survey data, and these are the top items that the officers listed as skill sets that they thought were important to their success as an IT security officer. And you'll see there knowledge of regulations, data management, a number of technical things. Communication skills, 86% said those were important. Planning skills, 85%. knowledge of higher education, pretty high, policy development, pretty high. If you take a look at skill sets versus the training that the officer said that they would like to have or needed, the first column there is a person who rated communication skills high or very high, but then said they don't need training in it. Only 11% said they felt like they needed training in that area. So a little interesting problem with the data. We're not really sure what that means. Potentially, folks feel like they already have those skills, the communication skills and the planning skills. But there was not much emphasis on the needing training on the more general management interpersonal skill areas, much more on the technical side of wanting to have skills. So, and needing training in relationship to the primary responsibility. These are the top areas where folks felt like they needed training compared with how many people said that was a primary responsibility. And there's a fair amount of coherence there, although lots of officers believe they need training in identity management, although that's not a big primary responsibility for them. But I think that's pretty understandable given the way our campus infrastructures are put together right now, that identity management affects a lot of things that the security officer is able to accomplish. So having that background and skill set obviously is important. We wanted to explore how the officers gained information they need to do their job. So we ask a number of questions relating to that. And we ask about conference attendance. 82% had been to at least one conference in the past 3 years, and EDUCAUSE was the highest named conference amongst those who did attend a conference. And 70% went to a technical training session, and SANS and IT vendor offerings were the two most popular in that area. When we asked just what other sources of information do you turn to in order to do your job, if you looked at the people who responded frequently or very frequently, SANS Institute, EDUCAUSE, and US CERT were the three that were the most valuable sources to the officers as they did their job. We also ask about people. What people do you use to help get your job done? And this comes from the concept that a lot of research out there, actually, that for IT professionals and many other technical professionals, instead of going to websites or other kinds of resources, often when they need help, they get up out of their chair, send an email to a friend. You know, that it's the people connections where people actually get that help. So we asked them if there was a senior person whom they turned to for advice, and most of those are a supervisor who's a CIO or the supervisor who isn't a CIO. So the supervisor is kind of a main source of help and assistance. But also peers is another main source. 72% said that there was at least one peer who they went to frequently for advice and counsel and help with issues they had on that campus. We ask in relationship to both the senior and the peer what kind of advice and counsel these folks got. And the mentoring literature had some nice questions relating to that, relating to career support, coaching, how do I deal with this particular problem, and also psychosocial support, just somebody I can confide in, somebody I can blow off to when I'm frustrated, somebody that cheers me up when I'm in a really bad day, you know. And what we found with IT security officers is they have a very typical profile for what kind of support they get from they're both senior and the peer people that they seek advice and counsel from. They get both psychosocial support and career advice from both categories, but it's the peer network that gives more of that psychosocial support, and it's the senior that gives more of that career support. So a kind of a common, I think, occurrence that very much fits what we find in other professions. We ask officers what kind of actions they were able to take, or trying to get at the concept of authority. And you'll see up there the kinds of things we had on the survey, and we asked them if they had the authority to do these items. The first five of those were highly correlated. In other words, if you had the authority to do one, you most likely had the authority to do all of those first five. And, you know, the result pretty much says that officers have quite a bit of authority and discretion in dealing with incidences on their campus, which is, I think, not surprising to us. I wanted to say a little bit more. One of the other things we asked about was how often their authority got challenged by an individual they were working with or dealing with. Because we were kind of curious as to what are these jobs like in you know, what's the dynamic when they're out in the field trying to deal with incidences and kind of get something done. And surprising to me, but pleasing to me, was that their authority isn't challenged very often. Authority was most often challenged by faculty members. We gave them a choice of a number of different constituencies. I'm not being a faculty member. I'm not surprised about that. And about 5% people saying very frequently they got challenges from faculty members, and about 21% saying they frequently were challenged by faculty members in trying to work within the environment. But still fairly low for what we saw in the survey. The most common way of challenging authority, we gave lots of choices for that, was passive evasion. you telling them that something needed to be done, and you walk away, and it doesn't happen. And you have to follow up and come back. So that was 37% frequently or very frequently that officers had experienced that aspect of just avoiding doing what needed to be done and having to follow back up with whatever it was. And the second most common type of challenge, reporting frequently or very frequently, 21% of the people, the faculty member or the student, which was the second most often group that challenged, was challenging the person's authority to tell them to do something. So saying, I don't think you have the authority to tell me, cut off my device from the network or take this device away from my office, et cetera. But overall, those challenges were fairly infrequent. So thought that was kind of good news. So the strategies for dealing with challenges, 97% said they tried to remain calm and explain the reason for the request. So 94% citing a rule, policy, or mandate from institution, law, or audit. And in the free text and in the interviews, a lot of officers emphasize the importance of campus-wide policy to help them do their jobs, that in environments where that's lacking, it's much harder to make progress. 73% acting more assertively than how they started out. and 72% using humor to diffuse the situation. And this is kind of a theme, I think, in the study, in that you could definitely see that the majority of the officers were trying to do their job in a way of developing relationships and partnerships and trying to kind of interact on a more rational kind of basis instead of resorting to compliance, you must do this because I'm telling you to kind of thing. And there's kind of this theme of the balance between those two in the study. The next set of data comes from the free text fields in the survey and also from our interviews. And so this is what officers being asked fairly broad questions, like what are your challenges and what strategies do you use, came back with these items. The challenges of the higher ed environment was a common thing for them to talk about. Decentralization and unit autonomy, the independence of faculty and their assumption of autonomy from centralized authority was often discussed. Tight budgets, a lot of lamenting about if I could only buy this tool, my life would be so much better. the openness that's desired within the campus environment, both from a network perspective and from a data perspective, was mentioned often. And kind of an interesting aspect of higher education versus the private sector here, a lot of the officers who had come from the private sector who were responding to the survey said one of the reasons why they switched is that the private sector officer positions were pretty boring. Those environments were locked down. the policy was in place. Compliance was easy because employee doing wrong things were held to account quite quickly and quite dramatically. And, you know, some of these officers said, I didn't have anything to do, just kind of, and so they looked to the higher education environment, even though our reputation is being, much less secure and much more challenging. That was a positive thing for them, that they could go to an environment that needed them and that posed more interesting challenges for them. So I thought that was kind of good news for us, that we might be able to recruit some private sector folks who are bored. So strategies. The number one top strategy named by almost everybody was something in the area of risk assessments, metrics, using audits, using cost avoidance analysis kinds of tools, and a big theme about really trying to provide real hard data back to departmental managers, both administrative and academic managers, about what was going on in their environments. And the feeling that that was a pretty successful strategy, that almost always when that data came back, that some action took place in response to that data. So that was number one top. Second, education and awareness was a really top one. And officers are spending, it appears, a lot of their time out on campus making those presentations and trying to get people to understand the importance of this. Communication being the key, communication was mentioned by a huge number of people. And that was both within the IT organization and out on campus. And in fact, in discussing their experiences within the IT organization, a lot of the officers talked about the need to kind of play this dual role in the communication area of gaining the trust and having enough technical expertise to be trusted and have credibility with the internal organization, but also being able to communicate in non-technical language and to be able to kind of spread the word out on campus. And the officers talked about kind of this dual role they have and how they have to kind of adjust their persona, their communication persona, depending on what environment they're in. A couple of people even talked about having two wardrobes. They were going to spend a day with the techies. They showed up in jeans and t-shirt. If they were going to spend a day out on campus talking to faculty, they dressed up. So it's kind of an interesting aspect of the role. Administrative support, particularly from senior administrators, was cited very often. Also, support from the CIO, but that wasn't mentioned very often. And I think just in kind of reading the answers and kind of trying to look behind the words, it seems that many officers were kind of assuming that the support of the CIO is there. A few talked about situations they were in where they didn't have the support of the CIO and how difficult that was making their lives, but it was very, very few. And so there seems to be this kind of assumption that that's there and that it really is there, and that the CIO and the security officer are in partnership in trying to get those senior administrators to really pay attention to this issue. We got lots of great stories about how people are trying to do that, and they talked a lot about a picture's worth a thousand words. The videos that EDUCAUSE has helped put out are helpful. People told stories about inviting their provost down to their environment where they could sit there and watch the network get attacked 60 million times and be jazzed by all the blinking lights and the cool technology of this, and then going back to the deans and saying, "You guys have to see this. It's really cool." And, we got to pay attention to this stuff. So lots of talk of lots of different ways, unique ways, I think, of trying to get the message across to higher education administrators. Support from within the IT organization was high. And partnerships, relationships, and committees. Lots of people talked about forming committees on their campus, pulling in administrative department heads, academic governance folks to kind of focus on security issues and you know, kind of get some folks that would advocate then for the security environment. And lots of discussion about very intimate partnerships formed with other players on campus. Most often mentioned were legal counsel, law enforcement, internal audit, and HR. Those four areas seem to be of significance to most of the officers. And in fact, there was so much on the relationship between law enforcement and legal counsel and the way in which security kind of works on campuses that we're going to pull the data out for that piece because we don't have room in this study, and we're probably going to do a special ECAR bulletin on that aspect of this relationship between the security officer, law enforcement, and legal counsel. Making the case. How do we figure out, compared to others? These are the bullets underneath are actual quotes from folks. Use comparisons on how other colleges are meeting standards and how we need to get up to speed. The credibility of external players, not something new in higher education. We all know that sometimes the people on campus, even though they have lots of expertise, are not listened to. But if we hire a consultant in to say the same thing, then that happens to work. The compliance argument, security best practice is nice to have, but regulatory compliance is a necessity. Incidences can be your friend. I really like this one. I don't really need a strategy. The media and other schools do it for me. So that kind of the scare factor of what's happened elsewhere helps make the case. And a lot of discussion about enabling business process. I like this quote, "We're not police officers. Our goal is to enable the business functions in a secure way." And a lot of stories, I think, told particularly with partnerships with the administrative side of universities, registrar's office, financial folks, those kind of offices of really intimate partnerships developing as the kind of play there was if the people in those offices really cared about their own data and protecting their own data then and would accept that responsibility, then you really could make a lot of progress in working with those folks. Because then you kind of became, you know, if you understood their business process and put a lot of emphasis on that instead of talking about the technical aspects of things, you can make a lot of progress. So a little bit of a summary view. overall, the data points that we're kind of going from a focus on the technology and machines to focus on people. And the arguments that seem to be working on campus very much relate to why are you in higher education? Well, I care about students. I care about education. Then let's care about privacy and security and data if you care about that. So. And I think a real recognition that while technical controls have taken us a long way, we will only be secure if we get informed individual action on our campuses on a daily basis. And that so that big theme of education and awareness and getting people to take responsibility and kind of cling on to this is pretty big. From fear to security as a service, I just talked about you know, trying to get people to accept responsibility for their data, and then the officer becomes the helper that helps them accomplish their goal. Okay, so I'm here as a resource, as a service for you, as opposed to I'm here to make you do something. And from dictates to partnerships. Now, interestingly, there was a minority of folks in the study that still said, you know, if we do not have dictates and accountability and very firm policy, we're not going to go anywhere. And this first quote is, you know, a typical quote from that kind of view. But I would say probably 3/4 of the people that responded to the free text part of the survey and that we interviewed are definitely on the side of you got to sell this as a service. You've got to help people become responsible and collaborate with those folks. So kind of a quote that I thought kind of summed up the theme of the study well is, you may wish to examine, this is the person talking to me, I guess, whether higher ed CISOs have made the paradigm shift from viewing themselves as technologists and an arm of IT to regarding themselves as part of the core business of the university, and as part of that, strategists and governance experts that interfere, that interface directly. Ha ha ha. Freudian slip. Yeah, I am a faculty member, you know. No. That interface directly or indirectly with top university administrators and management to affect influence. And I think that quote really kind of indicates a paradigm shift that I think this study can see happening across the environment. This is me and my email address. We are still in the process of conducting the study. We're about ready to go to publication maybe in the next 4 to 6 weeks. But I would love to have more comments about your views of the data, what you think about the data, et cetera. So please feel free to email me if you have thoughts about it. And we're going to continue some interviewing in order to do this bulletin focused on law enforcement and audit functions and their relationships. So you'll see a couple of different things come out. The major study probably in February or March from ECAR, and then a research bulletin soon after that in this area. So I think we have a little bit of time if people have questions or comments. Yes. The question was, will the study drill down between policy development and the enforcement side? In the survey data, we did not make a distinction. We had those two things together, so we don't have overall data for that. There is some data that comes from the interviews where we'll be talking about the kind of the dynamic of that. And I will tell you, that interview data basically does make a distinction between those two things, in that policy development is very much talked about as a very collaborative partnership, trying to pull people in and convince them kind of process, and compliance is much more in that law enforcement cop, you will do process. And some officers actually talk about the difficulty of playing both those roles at the same time, you know. If I'm a compliance person, then it's harder for me to develop those trusting relationships. And if I develop those trusting relationships, it's harder for me sometimes when it comes down to a pretty dramatic compliance issue where I really have to play the meanie. And so that will be one of the themes, is the difficulty of kind of playing both those roles. There's one institution that we talked to that actually has just recently kind of split. And they have kind of a more technical security compliance group, and then a more education, policy development, collaboration group that are working on security. And that's very new, so we don't have any information from them on how well they feel that's working, but they definitely are trying that because of the difficulty between the two. Did that get at what you're kind of thinking about? Yeah. And audit. And law enforcement. Yeah. Or. Yeah. We have a lot less data on the HR interactions. And I'm not quite sure why that's true, other than the officers didn't. It seemed like that was much more of just a simple handoff in incident processing or cooperation with background checks. And those are the two things that were mentioned in relation to HR. There didn't seem to be a whole lot of folks that really had a more intimate collaborative relationship with the human resource function. That was not with law enforcement, audit, and legal counsel. That seemed to be much more weekly, daily, really a development of a collaborative, trusting relationship and working on a number of different areas, not just incidences, but kind of a broader thing. So that's probably what we'll be looking at. I'd like, you know, maybe in another year or so, go back and look at that HR relationship, because I've had a few officers say to me that has recently become more important. So it'd be kind of interesting, but it may be a little bit early to get much good data on that. So, yeah.
I guess my question is, for the data collected, did you see any correlation between the size of the university, the number of students, faculty, and the data that you actually captured, like through the people that have directors that play security or have enrolled in security?
Yeah. That was a surprise to me, because I was hoping for lots of good correlations. The data is correlated. The institutions that have the full-time or 50% or more time officers are the larger institutions. That's clear. Other than that, there was not much correlation between responsibilities or reporting lines or strategies related to small or large institutions. There seems to be kind of a common approach to security that folks are taking. So, yeah, not much there. So I'm repeating questions for the recording. So Tom's question is, as we try to recruit people from the private sector, what's the retention aspect kind of? You know, is these jobs keep job satisfaction as new stuff gets layered on every day, particularly new regulations? What impact is that going to have? Overall, I would tell you, I was surprised that the folks that we talked to in the tenor of the free text responses to the survey were quite optimistic. And, you know, there were many comments of, this is a pretty cool job, I'm having a good time. And folks really liking the diversity of the position. You get to play technical 1 minute and out talking to a dean the next, and, you know, which I, you know, I think is a good news thing for the role. And in fact, a couple of people mentioned that, you know, some of their colleagues were kind of jealous that they had such a diversified job. You know, particularly folks that had come from the programmer ranks, where they were talking to former peers that are doing head down programming all day long. And, you know, so the diversification of the job seems to be a positive. What seemed to frustrate folks more, or what seemed to cause more of dissatisfaction, potentially burnout, was lack of administrative support and lack of being able to get the case made and get attention to. There's a passion that this is really important, and when that passion is not matched by the campus environment, that's what seems to cause the depression and the burnout a lot more than just the complexity and the layering on of more and more duties. It may be that it's too early to see, because we have had a number of things layered on within the last 2 years, and we may just not be quite seeing that yet. Although there's some very interesting research out there on burnout in jobs, and the research basically says is that, you know, burnout is a function of the person's attitude toward their job, not necessarily how stressful the job actually is. And so what we may be seeing here is that the attitudes are overcoming the stressful environment. So, other questions or comments? Yes. We did not ask about security policies. The major ECAR study did do that in 2006, and that's probably going to be repeated at some point. And I don't remember whether there were differences between public or private, but that's available on the ECAR website. You could go look at that, and that would be able to give you that data. I haven't looked at that piece of it recently, so sorry, can't answer that. Anything else? I think we're right at ending time. So thank you very much for coming. Appreciate it.
This EDUCAUSE 2008 Annual Conference podcast is sponsored by Real Networks. Stream multi-format audio and video to PCs and mobile devices with Helix Server from Real. Information at realnetworks.com.